You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
This is Diane Clark, host of the Walking with Jesus radio show that airs Sundays at 10:30 a.m., Wednesdays at 1 p.m., and Fridays at midnight. Join us as we focus on faith and resting in God's presence, and let His peace guide us through the storms in life. That's Walking with Jesus with Diane Clark on WCNO.
Safety for your home and family. Now that's important to you. And Gator Security, with its 5-year warranty, can help. With security, video surveillance, and access control, Gator Security is available at www.gatorsecurity.com or 800-676-1580. Gator Security, with its 5-year warranty, is a proud corporate sponsor of WCNO. GatorSecurity.com.
God takes it very serious when we are unfaithful to Him. And I think sometimes in our cavalier spirit, in our comfortable place of grace, and we should stand in grace, sometimes we forget that God's a holy God.
Welcome to Caption His Conscience with Pastor Bernard King, Sr. Pastor Bernard is Senior Pastor of Cornerstone Bible Fellowship in Delray Beach, Florida. The focus of our ministry is to be more than ordinary servants for an extraordinary God. This is your host, Tom Moon. In today's program, we're going to continue the series on the book of Hosea. Pastor Bernard will be teaching from Hosea chapter 9, verses 1 through 9. We also want to remind parents that Hosea includes adult-related themes that may not be appropriate for young children. So please use discretion in allowing your children to listen to this message. In today's program, Pastor Bernard will discuss the judgment earned by Israel by refusing to recognize God as the source of their blessing and prosperity. We're going to pick up with the message as Pastor Bernard talks about how Israel's sin led them to prefer the world over the relationship with God. Now here's Pastor Bernard with the continuation of Israel's hostility faces some holy heat.
God says, you want the world? I'm sending you back to the world. The world, you think the world can give you everything you need? I don't know about you, who wants to go back to the world? The world can't do nothing for me or for you. The world can't give you what you need, can't provide, can't protect. But yet, when you get so worldly, God says, I'm going to let you reap the consequences of being in the world. Again, Egypt is again mentioned here, not text, because that was that place of bondage for the nation of Israel. Remember, Israel, you were stripped of your dignity. Remember, Israel, you were stripped of your dignity, strapped in suffocating servitude. And you want to go back to that? You've been reduced to a ravished and starved dog that's returning back to his vomit. What does that look like today? Pastor, I had a relapse. Pastor, I went back this. God is able to restore. God is able to redeem. There's nowhere you can go so far where God can't reach you. But I tell you what, when you walk in that process of rebellion and you return back to those ways, you will experience the consequences. Going back to sickening things, sickening behavior, sickening diet. And God's going to say, hey, since you want a corruptible table, I'm going to let you eat at a corruptible table in a corruptible land. Yes, the punishment fit the perpetrator. Now, verse 4, God is offended by their offensive offerings. That's what we see in verse 4. Notice, they shall not offer wine offerings to the Lord, neither shall they be pleasing unto him. Their sacrifices shall be unto them as the bread of mourners, and all that eat thereof shall be polluted, for their bread or for their soul shall not come into the house of the Lord. While you're in Assyrian occupation, the opportunity to come to me in legitimate worship would not be available. It would come to an end. Why? What happened? Write the reference down, Hosea chapter 6, verse 6. God says, you're going to try to worship me while you're in captivity, but guess what? I'm not going to accept it. I'm not going to accept your offerings. Why? Because when I wanted real worship, when I desired real mercy, when I wanted the real kind of a heart, the right heart, a genuine expression, a worshiper, and I wanted you to worship me in spirit and in truth, you brought hypocrisy. Hosea 6:6, for I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offering. Here again, we have a nation that refused to conduct itself, refused to worship accordingly, refused to bring an attitude of reverence in the house of the Lord. I was having a conversation not too long ago with a brother, and you know, he had a very legitimate point. You know, there were different expressions of religion that they bring a different attitude when they come to the house of the Lord, even though they're in error. Do you know that? I love this fact, and it's a juggling act, but we got to make sure we're consistent, that when we come to the house of the Lord, when we come to Cornerstone Bible Fellowship, how many of you guys know that this is the house of the Lord? And when you come to the house of the Lord, there's a place for fellowship, there's a place for communion, but somewhere I need you, God needs you to make a transition. God needs you to make a transition that this is serious now. If it's the once we begin to open up scripture or read the word, we must bring a sacrifice of praise as well as one of respect when we get to the house of the Lord. We get this casual, comfortable approach toward God. And it's no wonder that we can't hear him. It's no wonder that we, when it comes down to giving, when it comes down to serving, when it comes down to worship, you drag your feet because you're laid back. So you think God is laid back. Oh, God don't care about those things. Read your Bible. Was he concerned what Israel was doing? Oh, they didn't bring the right kind of worship to me. You see, sometimes the wine offering, there were certain type of sacrifices that the people of Israel would engage in that incorporated the offering of wine. And you can see that in the book of Numbers, chapter 15, verses 1 through 12. Numbers 15, 1 through 12 is a good reference. God says, I'm going to stop all that. Sacrifices in a foreign land, the foreign nation, a foreign invasion, they're not going to be acceptable to me anymore. As a matter of fact, I'm going to compare it like eating the bread of someone that's mourning. Because oftentimes in the Old Testament, the people that mourn, they had to be very careful that they didn't touch any dead bodies, because if you touched a dead body, you were considered unclean. So you couldn't have no contact. Read that Numbers chapter 19, verses 14 through 15. Numbers 19, verses 14 through 15. God says, the kind of bread that the mourners eat is not fit for worship, and I'm not going to accept your worship. Then we have a rhetorical question in verse 5. A rhetorical question. What will you do in the solemn day and the day of the feast of the Lord? And there are several feasts in the Bible. But I will submit to you that this feast maybe it's connected with the Feast of Tabernacles. Remember when God told the people of Israel to live in these little man-made booths that they were in? Well, then the Feast of Tabernacles, they continue to observe a lot of the feasts today. God says, when it's time to observe my feast, what will you do? That's going to be ironic, because you're not in a good situation to observe the feast ceremony, because you are in an unfavorable, you're in an unpleasant, your circumstance and your situation is not good. You see, since you evicted me and evicted my word, I'm going to evict you. You evicted me and embraced idolatry. Now I have evicted you from the land that I gave you. Somebody else got the land now. Somebody else is running the land. Israel will be unable to celebrate the most important festival feast in their day. And if you do some homework, read about the captivity of Israel on the Babylon. And on the Babylon rule, on the Nebuchadnezzar, the Jewish people could not observe their festivals and their feasts. They had to know everything about Babylon. All their pagan practices, all their rituals, there was no more feast. There was no more reading of the Torah or the law. There was no observances of God. They sat under Babylonian control. They was force-fed and brainwashed by the world. Sounds familiar today, Pastor. People being putting themselves in a position where they are force-fed and brainwashed by the world. Money, money, money. Me, me, me. Entertain, entertain. Self, self, self. Be careful. Again, Egypt is mentioned again as slavery. Let's move on now from verse 5. From verse 5 more to verse 6. Pastor, what's Memphis? For lo, they are gone because of destruction. Egypt shall gather them up. Memphis shall bury them. The pleasant places for their silver. Nettles shall possess them. Thorns shall be in their tabernacles. All your money, all your bank, all your vast vaults of jewelry and of resources and gold and silver, God said, I'm going to reduce that to a wasteland. That's going to be nothing but briars and thorns and bush, shrubs. I'm going to reduce it all. I'm taking it all away from you. I'm going to sweep over you like a flood. I'm going to sweep over you like a tidal wave that's unforgivable and there's no escape. Destruction. Notice verse 6. Lo, they are gone because of destruction. Hosea chapter 7, verse 13 reminds us, gives us a picture. Hosea chapter 7, verse 13. God said to Israel, woe unto them, for they have fled from me. They run away from me. They're chasing idols. Okay, destruction will come to them. Why? Because they have transgressed against me. Even though I redeemed them, not only have they transgressed, I save, I deliver, they have the nerve to lie about me. They've spoken lies about me, or who I am, how I exist, how I work, my interactions with the people, they've lied about me. And again, we see in this text, Egypt is mentioned again to point them back to, okay, back to bondage, back to bondage. Now, Memphis is an interesting place. It's about 20 miles south of the modern-day Cairo. And it was famous as a, check this, Memphis was famous, known for being a burial place. So here is the picture of the ultimate destination for leaving God. Your destination is no longer a promised land. Your destination is no longer a place of happiness and joy and fulfillment and prosperity. I'm taking you to the graveyard because of your grievous sins. You would be in a foreign graveyard run by the keeper of the graveyards, Assyria. Some of you won't even get back to your homeland. In the meanwhile, all you evictees, I want to tell you something. Furthermore, you think your money's going to protect you? You think your treasure's going to protect you? You think your resources, all that? God says, I'm getting all that. It's done. It's over. I'm removing it. It's going to be weeds. And, you know, think about your neighbor's yard that don't want to keep the yard up. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Think about the neighbor's yard, and they won't cut the lawn. They won't take care of the yard. And all of a sudden, you get these weeds. Looks like a jungle. Pastor King don't live next to you, so I can't cut your yard. I cut my neighbor's yard. I don't mind doing that. Give God the glory for that. All about, because it's about the look. See, I just confessed to you. It's all about the look. Make sure it's clean. Make sure it's manicured. Make sure it's nice. It's interesting what we give our energy to. But at the same time, I redeem myself by saying, stewardship, Pastor, stewardship. But I want you to picture a bunch of weeds. What used to be a place of treasure, a place that's barren and empty now. Tells me riches don't last forever, do they? And God says, I'm going to deal with you. I'm going to judge you about that. Because why? Verse 7. The days of visitation, or the chickens have come home to. That's what we see in verse 7. The days of visitation have come. The days of recompense are come. Israel will know it. The prophet is a fool. The spiritual man is mad, for the multitude of thy iniquity have and the great hatred. The title of our message is about the hatred of Israel's heart. God is answering that hatred. You say Israel had a hatred or animosity, anger, a deep indifference toward God? Yeah, because they replaced him and wanted to serve other gods. And they got upset when the prophets tried to tell them the truth about their sin. The people's hostility toward the true prophets of God was one of several reasons of the judgment. You don't want to hear what Hosea has to say. You don't want to listen to Jeremiah. You don't want to listen to any of the prophets. God says, okay, you don't want to listen to my man. I sing it. They referred to them, oh, they're just a fool. I'm not going to listen to that holy fool. I'm not going to listen to that maniac. A matter of fact, we need to get a trap for this guy. We're going to get a trap for old Hosea. And we want to go after him and get rid of him. Why? Because of the multitude of their sin, they ridicule. We have a godless, wicked-hearted people now ridiculing and attacking the man of God. Question, what happens today if any one of us would go into the White House, we go to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, and we begin to decry the sins of our nation? Can you expect security to pick you up? Let's make it a little bit more personable or applicable in terms of church. Say you go into a mainline Protestant evangelical church, and it's very obvious and it's very clear that they are teaching, the pastor there is teaching a doctrine that contradicts the scriptures. And God leads on your heart to go have lunch with them, or God may lead on your heart to speak with them. What will you think may happen? Hopefully they'll respond. But in a lot of cases, do you see my empire? Do you see my big jet? Do you know I'm all over every radio station, every television program? You're just a minimal person. You are a diminished man. Who are you to speak to me? Too often, and from personal experience, I know, they don't want to hear it. What word you got, Pastor? Because we're doing well. We got a lot of people. We got resources. We got money. We got ministry. But yet you're connected in idolatry, sir. Yet you're connected misleading the people that life, that the more money you got, the more stuff you have, the more godly you are, sir. You're preaching this wealth, health, wealth, grab it, kind of a philosophy that is inconsistent with what we should be teaching. We should be teaching Jesus Christ. Yeah, they were hostile toward the prophets. And the hostility is kind of like the hostility that Esau felt toward Jacob. How did Jacob feel when How did Esau feel when Jacob stole his birthright? Was he a little upset? Well, that's the picture. I want you to imagine the intense animosity. And here's the picture that Israel had toward the prophets and toward God. And to, again, add to the irony, look at verse 8. The watchman of Ephraim was with my God, but the prophet is a snare of a fowler in all his ways, and a hatred in the house of his God. The irony again is that Israel tried to trap the prophets that God has placed as a watchman over the city. God put that prophet there for ministry. God put that prophet there to warn you of impending judgment, to warn you and call you back to repentance, and you want to trap him. That word fowler is bird catcher. So you want to set a trap. Like if I want to catch a bird, I got to set a trap to get that bird. So they want to set a trap up for the true prophets of God. The very man that will provide you warning, the very man that's pointing you to the truth, the very man whose sole responsibility is to cry out when trouble is coming, you want to get rid of, you want to eliminate, because he's not preaching the kind of message that we want to have. He's not saying things that will give me encouragement. He's always negative. He's always attacking. He's always pointing out how big God got a big stick. He always wants to hit us with it. God is a holy God. He's a gracious God. He's a merciful God. And again, his grace comes in giving us information. Can't you see the gracious work of God to put a watchman there to warn you? And finally, as we close our time together in verse 9, you need to see the depth and the gravity of their corruption. The depth and the gravity of their corruption. And if you got children, make sure you communicate and spend some time with them, because this is the next reference. We're going to find in chapter 9 that he's referring back to a very evil event in the history of Israel. Verse 9, they have deeply corrupted themselves as in the days of Gibeah. Therefore, he will remember their iniquity. He will visit their sins. Preacher man, prophet, what are you saying? Well, I want you to know, Cornerstone Bible Fellowship, about the depth and the degree of their depravity. You see, the people sin against God is connected to what happened in Gibeah. Now, in Gibeah, what it is, this is a phrase that turns back to this brutal rape and murder of a Levite's wife in Judges chapter 19. The brutal raping of bisexual men to a guy's wife that you find in Judges chapter 19. Scandalous, evil, wicked. No way. Yes, that happened. So the prophet is saying, Hosea is saying, that salacious, sickening spot stained on Israel history with that event that happened in Judges 19. What you're doing right now, Israel, in this context, in Hosea. Hosea is saying, you have rivaled that. You matched that evil. And it's blatant against the Lord. You see why a prophet wouldn't be welcome today? You see why this message would be rejected? Because they pull no punches. But please hear me. It's not their punches. It's the Lord's punches. And as we look for some application for this message, as we close this message, say, wow, Pastor, that was, it's going to take me time to work through that one. I want you to think about, again, the mercy and the grace of God to give us this information and put us in a position to receive this information and make our own personal application about the seriousness of idolatry. God takes it very serious when we are unfaithful to him. And I think sometimes in our cavalier spirit, in our comfortable place of grace, and we should stand in grace, sometimes we forget that God's a holy God. And you slip into a coma. You slip into a coma of carnality. And now you can talk to God any kind of way. You can serve God any kind of way. There's no respect to how you engage with God, how you pray with God. And that's why we can tell God no so easily. Why? We began to redefine God outside of what we read today. He's a holy God, but he's also a merciful God. He's a loving God. I know I'm doing my best not to be imbalanced here, but all of God must be taught. All of God. There are just some places in this book, in the Bible, that we fight with. Guess what? The reason we fight, because we are sinners. And God, through his mercy and his grace, said, I'm going to show you something if you pay attention. I want you to practice that verse you always say in the New Testament on often occasions that you hear. Pastor, I want you to tell your congregation to follow James 4:7. Submit to God. Resist the devil, and he will what? How does that apply to today's message? Submit to the Spirit of God. What's he trying to show you? Don't resist what God has said because it's unpleasant, because it's not so gracious. When God's trying to show you how holy he is, so the next time men, when you decide or feel like we want to look at something that's inappropriate. Ladies, when you find yourself with your challenge, wherever that may be, maybe to disrespect that husband or the husband disrespect that wife, remember our holy God is watching you. God is cultivating a discipline that we sorely need in this culture, in this world that are spiraling and falling apart. God is cultivating in this message a place, what we need to have, a position we need to enjoy, and that is the fear of the Lord. Let's get away from this contemporary, weak, sugar daddy God. He's a holy God. Let's refuse the narrative of the liberal pundits. Let's refuse the representation that is often echoed through people. I go to church because I love God and I fear God. I serve God. He's a holy God. Therefore, I will have biblical mandates in my home. Therefore, I will conform to the image of God because he is God. There's no negotiation with him. We've forgotten about that. I hope he's speaking to you. I know he is.
We thank you for joining us today for the continuation of Pastor Bernard's message, Israel's Hostility Faces Some Holy Heat. In today's message, Pastor discussed how Israel was committing spiritual adultery by worshiping other gods. Out of his love for them, God sent the prophet Hosea to warn Israel of the coming judgment, but they would not listen. They were so blinded to the truth that they did not recognize the goodness of the Lord. What about you? Have you become so accustomed to a life of sin that you do not recognize the goodness of God? It is only through repentance that you can enjoy a right relationship with him. To learn more about a right relationship with God, please visit our website, cbfdelray.org, or contact our office at 561-243-9127. We would love to hear from you. We invite you to join us for the next program on Thursday at 1 p.m. Capturing His Conscience is a ministry of Cornerstone Bible Fellowship in Delray Beach, Florida. If Capturing His Conscience has been a blessing to you, please prayerfully consider visiting our website and making a donation to support this work of the Lord. Until next time, this is Tom Moon encouraging you to be more than an ordinary servant for an extraordinary God.